Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the great creator, the only creator, Elohim of our fathers, once again has blessed us and allowed us to bring you another program of nothing but the truth. And here, He allowed us and brought us to another week, through another night, that we might be able to praise his holy, righteous, and exalted name through his words. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you another program of Nothing But the Truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For y'all ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I will do. Now, who is this Yah that allowed us to even have his words in our mouth to bring to you the word of Yah? Well, this Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. He is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This Yah is the Most High, the Almighty. He's our lawgiver. He's our king. And he's our savior. And I may add, not just of Israel, but the world. Today, he has allowed us to bring to you another beautiful program that we have prepared for you. Today, we're going to speak on the seven judgments of 40. You might ask, well, what is the seven judgments of 40? Well, you're going to find out. Oftentimes, people read the scriptures and they see these judgments in the scriptures, but they don't know what they mean. So they'll see where Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, and they don't realize this was part of Yah's judgment. They don't understand when the Almighty rained down on the earth 40 days and 40 nights during the time of Noah, that this also was Yah's judgment. And I will bring to you other judgments of 40 that Yah put as a record for us and our descendants after us. Now, why is this important to talk about today and now? Well, we praise the mighty Yah because we are in the sixth month of our Hebrew calendar of the first year. Now, you won't hear what years we're in from anybody else because they don't know what year we're in. But you continue to listen to us, we're going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can know the year that you're in. For the Almighty said he has not forsaken Yaakov, and he has not forsaken us. The Creator said the secret things belong unto him. But those things that are revealed unto us and our children, that we might do all the words of this law. And furthermore, the Creator let us know that he will do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets. And the Almighty has been revealing a lot of things. And it should not be a surprise, since the Creator said in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, that knowledge shall be increased. And let's read about this knowledge in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, because what you're going to see in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, is that this knowledge is not for everyone. In the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, this is what it says in the third verse, Daniel 12 and 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And today many people are going to and fro. A lot of people going from class to class, congregation to congregation, assembly to assembly, just looking for the truth. Many people on the internet right now, they tuning in to one class and then they switch to the next class because really all they doing is looking for knowledge. It says, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my master, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, my way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So I don't expect everybody to understand the various things that I'm teaching you and the things that I've already taught you. I don't expect everyone to understand the things that will be coming forth after today. But I can assure you, whether you understand it or not, you're going to know that I'm telling you the truth. Now, why was this 40 all over the scriptures? What did it mean? And what do it mean for us today? And you're going to see all through the scriptures, it means the same exact thing. And you're going to understand why it's important for me to discuss this today. So the first place I want you to turn just to get an understanding of what we're about to read. For the scriptures say, when you teach the scriptures, it let us know we must get a meaning and a sense. And if you know the time and you know the purpose, for there is no time without purpose. And if you know it, then you understand meaning and you have to give the meaning and the sense. So let's do that. So the first place we're going to start is the book of the law in the book of Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter. Again, what are we discussing? we're discussing Yah's seven judgments of 40. And watch what it says in the 25th verse. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Because, as you know, many of our people, they don't want to come to judgment. But when they do, nobody want to condemn the wicked and justify the righteous. Because I've been in many settings where I had to do such a thing. But I also been in many settings where the leaders were scared to do such a thing. But this is the law. It's not no law that you can choose to do or not to do. This is the law. And if you fear the Most High and tremble at his word, then you shouldn't have problems with judgments. It says, and it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed. Least if he should exceed, and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. So the Almighty's judgment in matters of controversy between men was to whoop they tail. Of course, a lot of our enemies don't like this because they don't want, they don't mind whooping our tail. They don't mind sending the authorities out with billy clubs and guns and tasers to do just this. But they don't want us to get the idea that we have the authority to do the same for correction. So that's why they said, don't even whoop your kids, even though they'll whoop you. Even though you can't whoop your kids, they will still allow corporal punishment in schools. Don't think because they're not taking a paddle to your behind that the reason they're doing it is because it's against the law. No, it's not. They never abolished that. They never abolished that at all. They still can do that. But here the Creator told us this is what we do when there's controversy between two men. We're supposed to condemn the wicked and justify the righteous. But he said, 40 is the max. Don't exceed 40. So what is it about this 40 that the Almighty seem to use very often? Well, you're going to see how important and relevant it is. It is Yah's judgment of 40, which I may add is the order of 5, which means his increase. And if you've been following us, you know what that means. If you're just now learning and tuning in for the first time, you might not understand what I just said, but you will. So let us see how the Almighty go about this judgment. The first time the Almighty utilized this judgment is in the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter. Let us turn there. In the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter, this is what the Most High let us know. I'm going to start at the first verse. And Yah said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, male and female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now, why 40 days and 40 nights? You think this was just some random number that the Almighty chose? No, he knew exactly what it would take to destroy man and every living thing off the earth. And it was exactly what he chose. And that was 40. Because this is his judgment. And anytime the Almighty is bringing judgment on nations, this is what you're going to see. And to show you, again, that I'm telling you the truth, in this same chapter, we're going to read, starting at the 12th verse. Well, let's start at the 11th verse. Genesis 7 and 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And in the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of flesh, as Elohim had commanded him. And Yah shut them in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. So as you can see, this thing was lifted up so high as a result of it being on the earth, the waters on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. This is what it says. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of the fowl and of the cattle and of the beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land, died. So as you can see, this was Yah's judgment on earth. And all it took was 40 days and 40 nights, and it destroyed everything. Because this is what Yah will do in his judgments. So in other words, before Yah had decided to do this, he told Noah, look, I'm going to let it rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. But that didn't come right away. That came days later, in at least a couple weeks before it began to rain. And I'll show you that another time. But this is the point. The point is, other people had an opportunity to find out what Yah had proposed to do in earth. You don't think Noah told anybody? Let me ask you this. Would you tell people? If you knew something that was coming to destroy, would not you tell somebody else? Maybe a friend that you love, a family that you love, a coworker that you love? But what happens is, most people would do what people would do during our time. They would take the name of Yah in vain. And Yah says, Yah will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. And this is what happened then. And I can assure you, it will happen again. Furthermore, this very second time this happened is in the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter. In the book of Exodus 24, this is what it says. And I'll start reading the 12th verse. And Yah said unto Moshe, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moshe rose up, and his minister Yehoshua, and Moshe went up into the Mount of Elohim. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moshe went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of Yah abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And in the seventh day, which was the Sabbath, he called unto Moshe out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of Yah was like divine fire on top of the mount, in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moshe went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moshe was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. This where Moses abode. But why 40 days and 40 nights? I can understand Yah whooping a man, condemning the wicked, justifying the righteous. I can understand why Yah whooped that man and said, look, give him 40 lashes. He was wicked. I can understand why the Almighty rained down the flood waters on earth during the time of Noah, 40 days and 40 nights, because man had corrupted theirself. And they became wicked. And Yah knew that it would take 40 days and 40 nights to destroy them. But the question is, why did Yah, or why did Moshe had to be in the mount 40 days and 40 nights? Well, I'm about to show you why. And watch what it says in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the 7th verse. And this is what it says. And Yah said unto Moshe, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy deities, O Israel, which I brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And Yah said unto Moshe, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moshe besought Yah as Elohim, and said, Yah, why do thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou brought forth out of the land of Egypt with a great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce anger, wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, whom thou sworest by thy own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And Yah repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moshe turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and the other side were they written. And the tables were the work of Elohim, and the writing was the writing of Elohim, graven upon the tables. And when Yehoshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moshe, there's a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry from being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came near unto nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moshe's anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made, burnt it in the fire, ground it into powder, strode it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. So what is this teaching us? See, the Almighty knew. He knows his people because he made them. He created them. He designed them. He formed them. And he chose them. He knows exactly how rebellious these people are. And he knew how long it would take for them to corrupt themselves. And let me tell you how long it took. 40 days and 40 nights. It don't take long at all. Why? Because this was Yah's judgment. And he knew the people was going to corrupt themselves. So he knew Moshe would have to go down after 40 days and 40 nights. But it also was a test for Moses, just like it was a test for Noah. Because Noah had to be on this ark that was just swaying and hitting the waters hard, hard rain coming, 40 days and 40 nights. He trusted in the Most High, but I'm sure he still was terrified. Because there is no salvation without affliction. And this affliction is called humility. And Yah want us to know that we always walk before him humbly, with humility, with a soft heart. And when you walk before the Most High, you walk before him every day and every night. So you don't have the luxury of being lifted up at no time. So the Almighty knew the people would corrupt themselves after 40 days and 40 nights. But Moses went up twice. And why? Because this was the second time this had happened. The Almighty reigned on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So this was number two where somebody was doing some 40 days and 40 nights, and Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Never had been done before. Not such a thing. But why? Now, why did Moses do this? See, the people corrupted themselves the very first time, and Yah wanted to destroy them. But let me show you what Moses did the second time he went up unto the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. And you'll read this in the book of Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter. I may add, it shouldn't be surprising to anyone at this point why it was done twice, because this was the second time. This was number two. And if you know anything about two, you will know that this happened twice, the same reason why Pharaoh's dream was doubled. You would understand that the reason why this happened twice is the same reason why the Almighty took 2 days to even make and complete the heavens. And the reason why is because the Almighty establishes this thing twice. That's what two represents. It represents the thing that Yah would establish. Why you think, according to the law, it says, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. You got to have at least two. So this is the second witness to what happened in the mount. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter. And what are we discussing? We are discussing the 7 judgments of 40. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the 17th verse. And I took the two tables, cast them out of my two hands, and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before Yah as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water. And this is why he didn't eat bread. This is why he didn't drink water. Because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of Yah to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith Yah was wroth against you to destroy you. But Yah hearkened unto me at that time also. And Yah was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which he had made, burnt it with fire, stamped it, ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. So this is what Moshe did. And he went back to the mount 40 days, 40 nights, because of the sin of the people. And he fasted for their sin. Why do you think we fast on the Day of Atonement? With no food and no water. And don't let these teachers falsely teach you that you can eat on the Day of Atonement and it's okay, because it is not. As a matter of fact, outside the Day of Atonement, anytime you want to humble yourself before Yah, this is one of the ways that you can get the attention of the Most High, if you do it with a sincere heart. Moses did it for sin, and so should you. The third time you find that the Almighty passed his judgment of 40 is in the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter. And what is this judgment of 40? This judgment of 40 is showing and demonstrating how weak of a people we can be if we don't put all our trust in the Most High. Our strength comes from the Most High. And Yah knows exactly how long it would take for man to corrupt himself. In the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter, watch what it says, and I'm going to start reading . Let me just read the first few verses, first three verses, so you can understand the setting behind this. And Yah spake unto Moshe, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them. And Moshe, by the commandment of Yah, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And then it began to name the heads. Then we get to the 17th verse. And Moshe sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way south. Go up into the mountain, see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be good therein, wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes, was let you know it was towards the end of the year, or past the end of summer. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishah, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zion in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes with the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And remember what I told you. These are the judgments of 40. And what do they mean? Well, this is when Yah is set to pronounce his judgment. And all it takes is 40 days. That's it. That's all it takes. And watch what happens. 26th verse. And they went and came to Moshe and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest. Surely it flowed with milk and honey. See, that's why all through the scriptures, the land of Canaan is called the land of milk and honey, because it was so good, so sweet. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea. and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moshe and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they have searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Going into the 14th chapter. And all the congregation lifted up their voice, cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would Elohim that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would Elohim we had died in this wilderness. In other words, what they said, man, I wish we would have just died in Egypt. And if we couldn't die in Egypt, I wish we would have died in the wilderness. And of course, this was terrible. Terrible when Yah said, if I'll be with you, I'll be with you if you're with me. They just got finished seeing the works of Yah and what he do and what he had done in the earth in Egypt. And Egypt was mighty, a mighty and great people. And Yah destroyed them like they were nothing. But the people didn't fear Elohim. They feared man. So as a result of fear man, this is what happened. Still in Numbers 14, we're going to start reading 26 verse. And Yah spake unto Moshe and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurs of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says Yah, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Yehoshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said shall be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So here the Almighty let us know his judgment of 40. Once you get there, then judgment is passed. He's not going to exceed it because he don't want to seem vile. Because 40 is an increase. And that's why Yah said enough is enough. As in the case of Noah, as in the case of Moses, and right here in the case of the children of Israel. The Almighty destroyed all those that was 20 years and older in the wilderness. Everybody that went into the land were under 20 years old, with the exception of Caleb and Yehoshua. Because this is Yah's judgment of 40. This is what he would do. You're going to understand why that's important to us. The fourth time that this happened is in the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, I'm going to start at the 17th verse. And Jesse said unto David, his son. Well, I have to start before that. Let's start at the 11th verse. 10th verse. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Yehuda, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 elder sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest. And the 3 elders followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And why 40? In other words, this Philistine came before the armies of Israel by itself, morning and evening, for 40 days. Without them doing anything. Just imagine somebody showed up to your house and they come every day, bring your tail out, come on out. You got to go to work sometime. Come on, bring your tail out of there. You got to leave one day. Come on out. Don't be a punk. Come on out. Don't be a sissy. Come on out. For 40 days, what you going to do? You going to call the police? You going to call the FBI? Or will you go in the name of your Elohim? Well, let me show you what the people did. Verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take down thy for thy brother an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000. And look how thy brethren fare in their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took him with. And Jesse had commanded him. He came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brother. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and was so afraid. In other words, this is what they did. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king which will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living Elohim? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why camest thou down here? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And to expedite matters, go down to the 40th verse. And he took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his deities. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of Yah of hosts, the Elohim of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will Yah deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a Elohim in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that Yah saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is Yah's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came near, drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slang it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, smote the Philistine, slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that the champion was dead, they fled. Don't you see what can be done when you just fear the Most High? And you go in his name? And all it took was 40 days to show Israel how much they didn't fear the Most High. How sissified they really were. An army of punks. Why not die as the righteous? But if they had the courage, they wouldn't have died at all. And it took a little shepherd boy to kill a man. And yes, Yah was with him. But Yah would have been with all of them. Because if you were Yah, Yah will be with you. It don't take long. 40 days. The fifth time is in the book of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. That this thing, this test, and this judgment had to happen. Starting at the very first verse, and this is what it says. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the deities do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Yehuda, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, O Yah, take away my life, for I am not better than my father. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay him down again. And the angel of Yah came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat, that food, 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of Elohim. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yah came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for Yah, folks, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Yah, and behold, Yah passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before Yah, but Yah was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but Yah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but Yah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entering of the cave, And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for Yah Elohim of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And Yah said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Mahala, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I've left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees will have not bowed unto the deity, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So he departed thence, found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, bore their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Of course, he wasn't like JC. Everybody who followed JC, when they had to go kiss their parents and go back to their parents, you know what JC said. Let the dead bury the dead. In other words, they left with a man, not knowing what their journey was going to be, never to see their people again. Elijah was there to kiss his mama and father and finish completing the task that he was sent to do. And then he left to minister unto Elijah. But why was this so important? Because the angel told him that this journey was a long journey, even 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of Elohim. And when Elijah came to the mount where he challenged the false prophets, as we're doing now, 250 of them, where they began to cut themselves, slash themselves, trying to call on some false idol that can't say, that don't exist, just to get him to sacrifice and eat of their sacrifice. But they did it to no avail. But Elijah, his sacrifice, after pouring buckets and buckets and buckets and buckets of water on the sacrifice, Yah ate it up. And not only ate it up, but he burnt some of the people also. And I may add, all the 250 prophets died, because that's what you do with a false prophet. And what do all these things have in common? What is this judgment of 40? Because after this journey that Elijah had took, somebody had to be judged. And Ahaz, And Jezebel was. All it took was 40 days and 40 nights once Elijah got to that place. And this is what Yah would do. He did it during the time of Ezekiel, which is the sixth time in Ezekiel, the fourth chapter. Turn there. In the book of Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, we're going to start reading at the very first verse. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it, and set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. In other words, this is all the stuff the prophet had to do. But he didn't do it here. He was just getting the instructions on what he's supposed to do. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pot, pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it. And all the people watching him do this, because this was a sign that he was doing. And it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. In other words, he was getting these instructions. That's the first part of the instructions. Then it says, lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according to the number of days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Yehuda 40 days. And I appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thy arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. So as we can see, for Yehuda, it was 40 days. Their iniquity, which really was 40 years. But he laid on his side 40 days as a sign. Now, for some strange reason, we got people teaching that these 40 days plus 390 days is 1 year. What kind of math is that? That 390 days on one side of, and then 40 days on another side equals to 1 year. And the reason why they teach that, because they think that equals to 13 months. And little do they know, that's more than 13 months. It's actually 14 months if you just do the math. But it has nothing at all to do with a year, period. My goodness, even 390 by itself is more than a year. But this is speaking about the iniquity of Israel and Yehuda. Because what are we talking about? The judgment of 40. And what is this judgment of 40? is an iniquity that the Almighty has determined enough is enough. And for you, Yehuda, he said, my goodness, enough is enough. That's why you see these 40 days. And Yah does this for a reason. People don't realize the Almighty knows the beginning from the end. And his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And what Yah always attempt to do is to give you the opportunity, give you the chance. They was in that land 40 days, walked in, spotted out, walked out. Life wasn't threatened, no problems, but they didn't fear the Most High. Moses left the people 40 days, 40 nights. They thought some evil beast done got him. So they built a golden calf to go back into Egypt. No fear. No faith in the Most High. And what it boils down to is they don't believe the Most High. The Almighty sent the biggest Philistine that you ever wanted to see, the biggest man that you probably ever wanted to see, just to see what the people was going to do. And you seen them. Tails between their legs. No fear. No faith. And here once again, Ezekiel the prophet did all this to show them that this is what Yah proposed to do to you. It wasn't that he was going to do this. He just proposed to do this thing if they did not turn from their evil ways. And they did not. As a matter of fact, all 16 that we read all ended up in bad, terrible circumstances. People died in the wilderness. People died in the flood. People had to be cursed and played throughout the wilderness during the time of Moses. Many of the Israelites didn't make it to the land. Elijah slayed the prophets of the deity Baal, as well as the queen. Then a dog licked up her blood. All meeting their demise. And Israel was embarrassed before the Philistines by this big uncircumcised Philistine. And children of Israel, Yehuda was taken out of the land as a result of their iniquities. But then we get to the seventh judgment of 40. All the other times, except for the time of Noah, all the other times, it was Israelites. And this is the one time it wasn't. And watch what happens in the book of Jonah. In the book of Jonah, of course, as y'all know, Jonah flee from the Most High. In the first chapter, he fled. Even when the Almighty even suggested that he go and against Nineveh. Let's read that in Jonah, the first chapter, just so you can see what this is saying. And this is what it says at the first verse. Now the word of Yah came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. See, this is always when Yah is about to judgment on the nations, on the people. Then we jump right to the third chapter. In the book of Jonah, the third chapter, this is what it says. The very first verse. And the word of Yah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of Yah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim, not Israel, not the people during the time of Noah, not the people during the time of Moses, not the people during the time of Elijah, but Nineveh. Not the people during the time of Ezekiel, but Nineveh believed Elohim and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto Elohim. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Elohim will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And Elohim saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And Elohim repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not, because they had 40 days to get it right. They had 40 days to appeal to the Most High. They had 40 days to show Elohim that they believed in him. And this what they began to do. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, and I want you to understand what I'm telling you. From today on, there's approximately 40 days until the end, and really 40 days period, until the end of the Day of Atonement. 40 days from now. From today. And Yah has already pronounced evil upon our people and earth. And we know that Yah's word will not come back void. And for a long season, Israel have not feared the Most High. For a long season, they have not served Elohim. And what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if there's a time that you really want to get your life together, this is the time. Yah did not send us and put the spirit within us to seek him that we might find him for no reason at all. At no other time have you heard such a thing that our people had done. And no other time have you seen any of our people bringing you the word of Yah every day as we're doing today. And the only reason it's being done is because Yah return is very near. And he already told us, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather yourselves together, O nation not desire, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass us to chaff, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon thee, before the anger of Yah come upon thee. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, that you might be hid in the day of Yah's anger. Who knows how many more days of atonement that Yah would even allow us to have? Who knows when Yah will bring forth this decree? So, brothers and sisters, it's up to you. The Day of Atonement is upon us. You don't wait till then to try to get yourself together, as he told Noah, as he did with Moses, as he did with Elijah, as he did with our people in the wilderness, as he did with Jonah, as he did with every judgment of 40, which was 7. 40 days, 40 nights, the people had a chance to show, to demonstrate, and to prove that they truly fear Elohim and that they would keep his commandments. And you have that opportunity to also. And you also had the opportunity to be as our foreparents, to take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain. For Yah will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. So it's up to you. And until tomorrow, Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom.